Morning. Never been the kind of person who, when I know I'm going to be doing a message, to look at it and try and find three words that all begin with the same letter and then to finish with a poem or a witty story. But along with a sermon title, Paul sends out some notes. And on this occasion, the passage that we're looking at, Romans 15, he had four words that all begin with the same letter. Two of them are actually in the passage you're about to read from the NIV. Third one's mentioned in the Message, which we sometimes use. And the fourth one is clearly inferred. So I thought, okay, why not? We'll have 4 points, all beginning with the same letter, but there won't be a poem. And as you know, I don't do wit. So I'm going to read from Romans chapter 15. And verse 14, it would be great if you have a Bible or some electronic device, or as David pointed out last week, we do have Bibles at the back, so if you would like a Bible, please stick your hand in the air, and I'm sure a steward will provide you with one. So we're continuing a series in which we've been doing for a while, going through Romans, and we're drawing to the close, and Paul is beginning to speak a lot more perhaps personally about himself and about his mission and about the church that he is writing this letter to. So, Romans 15 and verse 14. Paul says, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. I've written to you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. Oh, I meant to say, you're supposed to be trying to work out what the four words are. So two of them begin with the same letter, and coincidentally, it's also the initial letter of the person who wrote the letter. Priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God. So that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem, all the way round to Illyricum, I've fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I've been hindered from coming to you. And Paul then goes on to talk about how his desire is to actually be physically with the church in Rome and how he wants to be there in order to help them and to encourage them. But he's been prevented from doing so through other things. And then towards the end, he says, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. So did anybody spot two of the words? One I've made fairly obvious. You were listening. Priestly, yeah. Power, thank you. So we have priestly, powerful. The one that's in the message is pioneering, and I think that's a great word. Paul obviously going out, starting new churches, pioneering work. And then the fourth one is persistent. Him wanting to keep going. So we're going to look at each of the four of those, but we're going to start with the second one, which is powerful. Paul describes his ministry as being powerful. We know from this and from other writings that we have of his that he was totally reliant upon Jesus, totally reliant upon the Holy Spirit. Power, giving him strength to speak, enabling him to do and to be the person that he believed he was in Jesus. But there's more here as well, isn't there, that he speaks about. He speaks about miraculous power. He speaks about signs and wonders, miracles. Not just the fruit of the Holy Spirit evident in and through his life, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. And some of us here have experiences of that, of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, of signs and wonders accompanying. And when we think about it, why should that not be the case? How can it be otherwise if we are filled with the Holy Spirit? The same Holy Spirit that filled Paul, the same Holy Spirit that enabled Jesus to be both God and man as he walked on this earth, the same Holy Spirit that was involved in the creation of the world. Church's mission today needs to be powerful. It needs to be accompanied by signs and wonders. It was great, wasn't it, to hear Lucy's testimony of how the Holy Spirit had worked in power as she shared with that young boy, and how as she prayed for him and he was on his own, that the power of the Holy Spirit enabled him to sense God's presence with him. Holy Spirit power, God's mission in the world. But it's also to be pioneering, preaching the gospel to those where Jesus was not known, not being heard about. Paul had this call, didn't he, from God to go to the Gentiles. And we've touched on that already as we prayed together. You might think, well, that was okay in Paul's day. That was easy. You know, he was a new religion. Christianity, capturing people's imagination, Jesus coming as that game changer, that word we've used several times throughout this series, that making a difference, saying people were all equal, no longer some people having authority and power over others, all people being equal before God, demonstrating that through what he did. So it's no wonder that it might be called pioneering and it spread so quickly. My contact years and years ago, or our church's contact years ago through Youth for Christ, was when we had the financial director of Youth for Christ worshipping with us for a number of years. And they, Youth for Christ, had pioneer centres. There's still a pioneer centre at, is it outside Bewdley, I think, which sometimes is still, you still use, I gather. It's no longer part of Youth for Christ. But that was their vision as they were set up, to pioneer new ways of particularly reaching young people through some of the things that we've heard, seen them do this morning and on Friday night. We don't need to go abroad, do we, to be in dark and difficult places where Jesus has never been heard of before. I think in some ways, and many of you might agree, that it's getting easier. People are not brought up, certainly the young people that I know and work with on a daily basis, don't have a clue about Christianity. They don't know about Jesus. They might use his name, but they don't know really about him and who he is. So there are opportunities for us to be pioneering, stepping into the world, standing out as being different from the people that we work with. We're to be different from our colleagues and our neighbours and our school friends, bringing change into other people's lives in whatever way it is that God calls us to. And that requires us to keep at it, doesn't it? Because it's not always going to be easy. There'll be times when that is just really difficult, when people either ignore us or worse. We need to be persistent to keep going. Paul talks about this in verses 22 and 23 of Romans 15. He kept going despite setbacks. And we have this illustration of kind of story here where he's been wanting to actually go and visit the church in Rome. He's writing to them, but he actually wants to go to Rome to meet with them, to be with them, to encourage them. But things have kept stopping him from doing that. Not bad things, necessarily. Good things, sometimes. we need to have that overall aim, perhaps, in our lives of where God wants us and what he wants us to be doing. And we need to keep at it, even when there are setbacks, when there are things that are difficult, to keep going. Mission, being powerful, pioneering, persistent. But Paul begins by saying that his mission is also priestly. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of the word priest. Perhaps people with special clothes, special things on their head, special roles perhaps in certain churches or in church life. Priests were instituted by God in Old Testament times, or at least the way we understand it were. Priests were chosen, set apart by God. So it's a good thing, something that was necessary in order for temple worship to happen and for temple sacrifice to be done properly and correctly. It was a highly regarded office to hold, particularly the high priest. It could also perhaps be seen as perhaps a bit dangerous or tricky. It's a very sacred place that the high priest was allowed to go. It's only the high priest that was allowed to go into the very innermost court of the temple, into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the presence of God was seen to be. So the priests wore these robes that had bells around the bottom, so that as they walked into the Holy of Holies, they could be heard. They also, and that's clear in Scripture, it does say that, honest. They also, according to Jewish writings and tradition, had a rope attached to one of their ankles. Because there was this fear that if they got the sacrifice wrong or did something wrong before God, that they would be struck dead and therefore would be there in the Holy of Holies. The bells would stop. And the rope was there. It was quite a long rope, apparently. And it was there so that people who were allowed into the next sort of layer of authority, if you like, could go to that point and pull out the body of the high priest. Because it was a place that only certain people, special people, could go to. There's lots of mentions of priests and high priests in the Old Testament. Some good, some not so good. By the time we get to Jesus' day, and we can see how he talks to the priests and how he acts towards them, that they're not really, most of them, following what God had intended. They're more concerned about position, power, having control, control that they often achieved by setting endless rules that common people had to follow, and that they themselves often didn't. They thought themselves above the law. Some might feel that that didn't necessarily stop in Jesus' day. In the letter to Hebrews, which is all about the Old Testament role of the priest, Jesus is described as the high priest, having direct access to God because he was God's son, into the Holy of Holies, into God's presence, offering and being that necessary sacrifice on behalf of all people, the world. The difference was that this Holy of Holies was not in the depths of the temple. Jesus not wearing any special robe with bells on it. He was outside in full view of the world on a hill, wearing probably very little. Not just offering a sacrifice, but being that sacrifice. The sacrificial lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And it's through that, through Jesus' death, through being the sacrifice, through his resurrection, being alive today and seated at the right hand of God, that we too have that full access to God and into his presence. Paul, as he continues to write, doesn't anywhere mention priests as a role or as a title in any of his letters of instructions to churches. He might have instituted some new ones, deacons, bishops, etc. But he uses the word priest not as a noun, but as an adjective. to describe how he was and how we should be as well as Christians, and who we all are positionally. And the other New Testament writers pick up on this as well. Peter, in his first letter, calls this the priesthood of all believers. Paul hints at this in the opening verse of the passage which we read together earlier in verse 14, where he says to the church in Rome that you are competent to instruct one another. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation, it says that we are all priests in God's kingdom. All of us have direct access to God. All of us are set apart. All of us are called. Why? Well, for pretty much the same reason it was in the Old Testament. At the end of the day, those priests were there to to offer sacrifice and to serve through offering that sacrifice that other people couldn't, but primarily there to serve others. And so should we be, serving others, looking for ways in which to serve people, perhaps even without being asked. Scottish missionary and Christian writer Andrew Murray says this about this passage from Romans 15. It says, the Apostle Paul shares with the believers in Rome that he was going to Jerusalem. And we catch his heart, that he was going to be a servant. He has no ambitions and big plans or desires, but simply wanted to go and find out how he could help. There is a rest and peace in Christian work when we simply are servants. Choose today to be a servant. Look for opportunities to help serve. When we do that, as brothers and sisters, look to wash each other's feet. We will then see how arguments and disagreements will cease. Lower yourself today. Bow the knee. Grab a bowl of water and towel. Serve one another. Priestly, powerful, pioneering, persistent. Those are the kinds of things and actions that demonstrate a pioneering, transformed life. Lives and hearts filled with the Holy Spirit power that are outward looking and so therefore able to offer transforming life to those who've never heard of God's love and grace. Let's pray together. Just have a moment of quiet, of silence, where each of us just think on what we've heard, what we've prayed, what we've sung this morning. And how that is relevant to each of us in our own daily lives. To the calling that God has put on each one of us. Whether that's to serve with Youth for Christ. Whether that's to be a doctor. A teacher, a friend, a mother, to run a playgroup, wherever it is that God has called us and wants us to be out in the world with people who have not yet met Jesus. Think on those things for yourself. Thank you, Father God, that as you call us and send us, you give us all that's needed for us to be channels for your Holy Spirit power, to be people who keep going even when it's tough, when we perhaps mess up ourselves or when other people try to trip us up. Thank you that you walk alongside us in whatever mission place you have called each of us and placed us. Thank you that for whatever we have ahead of us this week, we can trust in you. Father, wherever we are on our journey with you this morning, some of us have been around a while. Some of us are just starting out on our Christian faith and walk. Some here may be hesitating, not sure whether they've committed themselves fully to you or not. Lord, thank you that you act in love and grace towards each one of us. And you move us on, gently, sometimes with a great almighty shove. But thank you that you are there to turn to and to look to and to receive from as you work in our hearts to enable us to be servants of you. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.